Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home. This hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
All right, let's talk to our man, Mac Hollins. Tell us about your barefoot lifestyle. What's this all about, man?
Yeah, so I've been doing it for like 4 or 5 years, and I just think conceptually it makes so much sense, but culturally I guess it doesn't. Like, if everybody were to walk around with mittens on their hands, people would think it's the most insane thing. But then we have shoes on our feet.
The only time you're not is if you're traveling and you gotta absolutely have to have shoes on. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like that, and if I'm in the public bathroom, that's the only time I'll have
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot of folks, Mike, ironically hit me up and saying they're all about the barefoot life too. Ladies, you know, as well as men saying, if I don't have to have shoes on, I don't want shoes on, right. Which is interesting. I mean, listen, we just kind of take it for granted that most people, it's what you do, right? It is a part of our culture. Other parts of the world, it's not necessarily a part of their culture. You wear shoes. I mean, there are places, no shoes, no service.
No, man, I do go shoeless all around the house, taking the garbage out in the driveway, doing stuff in the backyard, you know, whenever I can down by the beach. But, yeah, the idea of going barefoot in a city street, though, is a little funky to me. But, hey, man, but again, but as you know, you're luckily, we get to share a hotel room in Final Four. You know, I'm a happy naked guy, Carl.
I'm sorry?
What's that? You know me. I like to walk around. Drives a wife crazy. You know, she really gets upset when I'm naked in the kitchen making breakfast.
Yeah, that won't be happening, though.
What's that?
That won't be happening, okay?
So, piping hot. No, I mean, I'm down with it to a point, but man, when you said he was in New York City barefoot, that's wild to me, man. Holy moly.
More on that coming up. That is Mac Hollins, wide receiver for our Atlanta Falcons. We were talking about a couple of things that have gone on with the Falcons before we get to the dog report, and the things are simple, guys. One is that when you look at the moves that have been made so far, the Falcons right now, in regards to trying to bring more guys in, and we were just talking about Calais Campbell. He's going to come visit, okay? It doesn't mean he signs here, but he's obviously interested. They're interested. Let's talk and see where we're at and how I might be used, and we'll see if that pans out. I know a lot of guys are excited about it because people are saying, okay, this adds to the pass rush. Again, take it with the grain of salt. He's not coming in here as an every down guy. He will have a role if he was to sign here.
But you got to go back to like 16 with like Babineau and like Tyson Jackson. I think about the last time we actually had more than two guys that could play defensive tackle.
Right.
And that was a 4-3. Now we're more of a 3-4 with 4-3 tendencies. But this is a rotation that we've not. I said this on Twitter just a few minutes ago. We haven't had that kind of depth in 5 years. 17, probably the last time we had the quality guys in defensive tackle next to Grady.
And the other news today is that Eddie Goldman, and if the name doesn't sound familiar to you, let's just rehash real quick. He was a guy that was coming here, was going to sign, was going to play, and then retired. And I think, Mike, it was at the start of camp, too. It was a weird timing.
We signed him in the spring, and all of a sudden before, it's like, Eddie, remember you and I were joking around? We hardly knew you. And then he's only 29, and I guess he's got the motivation back. So, again, another guy, quality piece, you know, not a Pro Bowl level, but a dude that's a body. Ryan Pace brought him into here initially from Chicago before he tapped out. So, but again, bodies. All the good teams have these kind of guys at depth in their D-line. We have not had that, as we said, for a while.
All right. And by the way, none of that should deter the Falcons from drafting the best player at 8. And if that best player is Jalen Carter, at least according to the reports from Josh Kendall, they may not be in on Carter at 8. Mm. That is disturbing to me. More on that coming up in the Falcon Report. Right now, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, let's talk about what this O-line is going to look like, because it's going to be good. But the bigger question is what the quarterback behind that O-line is going to look like. And Cedric Van Praan is the center that will be back for the Dawgs. He is a guy that's going to be a first-round pick next year. Okay, I know we're a long ways away from that. But his decision to come back, Mike, he's been here. He's got a couple of chips. Mm-hmm. A lot of people consider him already to be the best center in college football. With that said, he did have a message to the UGA quarterbacks.
Be themselves, honestly. I think that's the biggest thing. These are guys that we've all, been around. I've been around. I've taken reps with them at some point. So, honestly, it's nothing new. It's just a matter of making sure that guys are confident to go out there and play their game.
Nothing new, just being confident. They will be protected. Again, I think Georgia's O-line is going to continue to be good. You've got this thing now, Mike, where – I'm not going to say you have a pipeline, but you've seen it. Five-star after five-star coming to Georgia. Right. And, Sam Pittman, give him credit. He really got this thing rolling. Now he's at Arkansas, and now this thing hasn't slowed down any. So,
and think about it, because remember, Matt Luke came in, then he stepped away, took a break, and then they brought in, Stacy Searles? And a lot of folks said, well, there's another old, kind of old hat. But guess what? They are coming to Georgia just like they came to Alabama. They're continuing to come to Alabama. They say the number one recruiting class. But you're right. It is a factor in both sides of the ball.
All right. So with that said, the message is be comfortable. We're going to find out. G-Day's coming up. Spring practices, guys, you know this. I mean, this is an important time of year to kind of figure out for whether it's guys in the portal or transfers, however you want to, whatever's going on with your team to kind of get a feel and a look. But the biggest thing that Kirby's going to be trying to figure out, Mike, is who's the best quarterback going into the fall. And I don't know if he makes that decision. He, you know what? He didn't have a choice last year coming off the national championship. This is different. He could literally say they all played well, we like all of them, and we'll see what happens in September. He doesn't have to commit to any of these guys to kind of play his hand in the SEC and say, hey, this is the guy we're going to go with. He could not announce this, Mike, until week one.
Now, one thing for certain, when they decide who the quarterback's going to be, boy, oh boy, they're going to have a lot of brain power for this move. Remember last year, obviously, Todd Monken's show, and they brought Bubba in as a consultant. And then in this offseason, Buster Faulkner, who was kind of like this, the title was kind of nebulous, but he was working with the offense as well as kind of a, conduit between Bubba. I mean, basically, he was another assistant, quality control, whatever he was. He's the new OC at Georgia Tech.
Correct.
So unlike when Mark Richt would have to go cap in hand to go hire more guys, they got more coaches on there, more guys that are technically analysts, and they raided Clemson. They brought in Streeter, which is pretty interesting. And they also brought in a dude from Texas A&M, Daryl Dickey. Yep. So Brandon Streeter comes in along with Daryl Dickey, and these dudes are also going to be part of that sort of collective offensive mindset that's going to work with Bobo to get this, amongst other things, that decision you just talked about at QB.
It is a lot. These analysts, though, you talk about when Bobo was hired here and what his job was when Monken was here, the similar kind of deal for both of these guys and Streeter and Dickey. The Dickey offense, he was the fall guy at A&M, okay? They were technically running Jimbo's offense, and this is why Jimbo was required to go out this year and hire somebody else. But I like Dickey, man. I think he does a really good job. And Streeter was at Clemson, Mike, from 15 until last year.
Right.
So he's been there with all these guys. Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. He's seen all of these guys. So it's nice to have these extra guys in the building who know what it's about and know what championship football looks like.
And we've talked about the Saban car wash where guys come in. And not that Streeter's brand was hurt, but again, he did have to leave because that offense went nowhere with DJU. But guess what? You saw Munkin's got the big gig now with the Ravens, and guys are coming in and kind of spending some time with Georgia, then on to another job. It's interesting to see just how much it's almost, and think about it, they had a three-headed monster at defense. You've got four offensive coaches technically working with your quarterback, quarterback's coach, these analysts, and Bobo is your OC. It's a lot of brain power.
Oh, it is. I mean, Bobo's in charge. Bobo will get the blame or the credit for how this offense looks. But these guys behind the scenes are going to be doing a lot of work. And you said it, they're going to revitalize their career, if you want to put it that way, or if they get another opportunity somewhere else, or if they stay and, hell, Bobo wins two more championships, Mike, and he ends up leaving.
And for what it's worth, I thought this was a pretty cool article from Mike Griffith in Dog Nation. This was posted earlier today. You and I had a chance to talk to Terry Rubisky years ago, longtime wide receiver coach in the NFL.
Terry's great, yeah.
Raiders interim coach a couple times. Anyway, he compares Kirby Smart to a Super Bowl or an NBA championship coaches, talking about guys like Andy Reid, talking about all the elite coaches like Popovich and guys like Phil, always having these guys like a Tex winner, having the best coaches. Isn't that interesting from Terry Rubisky? We're just talking about it.
Terry was the guy that told us that Kyle Shanahan was going to throw the ball to Roddy White three times and did, at the start of a game after Roddy wasn't getting the ball. Robiskie was here, and then he went to the Titans. Great dude.
Right.
But he's right about Kirby. He's absolutely right. All right, coming up, we got more to get to. Lauren Jabari is going to join us. What's going to happen with the Hawks tonight? The latest about the Hawks as they get ready for the Pistons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So it looks like no DeJounte Murray tonight. Non-COVID. Sick. All right.
Bush.
It is the Detroit Pistons, and joining us right now on the WayForward.com hotline, we love her work. She does an amazing job for Bally Sports, and she is a friend of the show, Lauren Jabari, joining us. And Lauren, we were talking about the loss the other night with the Hawks and what happened with the Spurs. It's hard to even come up with words as to how you could play so well and then so bad to finish the game. I'm just curious, like, I know guys were ticked off after the game about losing, but what was the vibe? Because tonight, I'm expecting them to come out and respond.
Yeah. Hi, first of all, happy Taco Tuesday. Favorite Hello. Day of the week.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. But, yeah, I mean, it was incredible that they could put up 80-plus points in the first half and then come out and put up only 35 points total in the second half. And maybe it came from relaxing a little bit. Maybe it came from overlooking opponents. But I think the biggest thing that I took away from it, and especially from head coach Quinn Snyder, is, you know, he's never one of those guys that gets mad. He's more disappointed and finds ways to fix things. And so he came into the postgame presser and he's like, why did that happen? Obviously, we need to learn from it. We need to learn that we, one, cannot let our guard down. Two, need to continue working. And three, cannot overlook our opponents. We need to focus in games like that where we are up 20 or we're down 20 on playing our game and playing every single possession the same way, regardless of if we're blowing a team out or getting blown out. So I think it's just learning from that. And I feel like tonight's going to be a good test going up against the Pistons team that, yes, is scrappy. They have some good additions since the trade deadline. And I know that they're 1-9 in their last 10 games, but this is another game that the Hawks can't overlook, especially with their positioning right now in the Eastern Conference and, you know, kind of making a push this final 11 games of the regular season.
It is Lauren Jabari with us. Always have to talk to Lauren after a tough loss like that. Terrible effort in the second half down here in San Antonio. It has been interesting watching Quinn Snyder kind of experiment with the rotations. Lauren, I know that I was asking to see more A.J. Griffin. I got to see some of that the other night down in San Antonio. Do you think he's just in a combination of, yeah, we're trying to hold on to our position in the postseason, but he's also he's constantly evaluating these guys and experimenting and tweaking?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, I mean, he's still trying to not necessarily figure out what he has, but just, you know, see what works and see what doesn't work. And the one thing that he said, too, it's all dependent on the matchups, right? Like, if we need more defensive effort, you put in a different guy than if you need more shooting or sharp shooting, you put in a different guy. So it just depends on the team that they're playing, the matchups, and also injuries. I mean, Jalen Johnson was getting a lot of minutes, and I know Quinn Snyder really liked his effort off the bench, both on the defensive side and offensive side. He has a mild hamstring strain and groin strain, so he's going to be out and reevaluated next week. DeJounte Murray is going to be out tonight with an illness, so obviously someone else is going to step up into that two spot in the starting rotation. But it just depends on, one, the personnel that you have, two, the team that you're playing, and, you know, the kind of style that some of these teams play and what matches up best against that. And I think Quinn's, you know, doing a really good job of figuring that out.
What have you gotten from Quinn Snyder that you think is translating? Look, it's a little bit unfair, Lauren, to compare, you know, a guy that comes in 20 games, right, for 20 games. But we're still trying to figure out, like, okay, he's trying to incorporate some of the things that he thinks are going to work here over the last, you know, 11 and get us into the playoffs. But I think this is going to be a huge offseason for him. But that doesn't mean that some of this stuff that he's trying to get through is not cutting through. And I'm curious to know what you think is getting through to guys and what he's preaching.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing for me is just the details in which he teaches and coaches with, and even listening into different timeouts throughout the game, like the adjustments that he's making in game and the way that he, you know, is just interacting with the players. Like, you could tell that they're really responding to it, which I think is really awesome to see. But just his attention to detail, I think, is the biggest thing that's a focus point for me. Just, you know, watching even just like the subtle things of like how to adjust your body in certain situations or spacing. And I know, like, coming in and only having 20 games here, you're not going to make all of the adjustments in the world. And you're kind of like picking and choosing the things you want to focus on. But I think one of the biggest things too is just defensive intensity. And we've seen that pick up from guys 1 through 5 on the court every single game. And I know they don't all always necessarily translate into results. But at the same time, if you're liking the habits that you're having possession to possession and getting better and becoming the best team that you can be at the end of the season, that might not be an NBA championship team at the end of this season, right? But if you're better than you were when you first came in, I think that's the goal, and that's something to build off of going into next year.
It is Lauren Jabara, and she is a busy broadcaster. She's got the Hawks, and before you know it, baseball is going to start with less than, like, what, almost 8 or 9 days for each pitch. I know you'll be involved with the Bally Sports and the Braves broadcast. I mean, I don't know how much you've been able to focus on what's going on down there in Northport, but we're a little bit surprised that Vaughn Grissom is not going to be coming up when the club breaks camp.
I mean, it's going to be crazy to see what happens, but at the same time, I mean, he's a young guy. He's still learning, right? I mean, how old is he and Michael Harris II? They're 19. Right. How old are they? I don't even know how old they are. But they're young.
Well, yes, they
young
are. Yes, so they are.
They're still learning. They're babies, right? Like, just because, you know, he's not necessarily the player right now doesn't necessarily mean he won't be the player come a couple months or even, you know, a couple weeks from now. So we'll see what ends up happening with the Braves team. But I'm so excited to be covering them. I'm like full NBA right now, but as soon as Braves season starts and NBA's over, you know, you make that mental shift. I'm excited. I'll be on like 45, 50 games this season, both on the sidelines and hosting pre and post games. So it's going to be super fun.
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting time for the Braves and coming back off of a year where, you know, it's hard to repeat in any sport, but I'm totally with you. As far as the NBA is concerned, Hawks, Pistons tonight, then we go back-to-back or at the T-Wolves. So as we look at this schedule, and Mike and I have been talking about this, Lauren, you know, the schedule, I don't know if it plays in our favor or not, right? Cavs, Nets, Mavs coming up, Bulls.
Six hardest schedule. Other teams got schedule left here.
How much is that? Do you think is that on the guys' minds as they get ready to embark on whatever the playoffs are going to look like for us, whether it's play-in, which it looks like now, or, you know, if we're able to move up and maybe secure the top six seed?
Yeah, I think it's, like, I mean, obviously people look ahead and they look at the schedule coming up, but I don't think it's something they're looking at like, oh no, we have the sixth hardest schedule ever. And they're talking about it in the locker room, you know, like, I think that they're focusing tonight on the Pistons and bouncing back from the Spurs and making sure they get that win, because right now they're only a half game ahead of Toronto in the standings, and they're right behind Miami as well. So I know they don't want to drop down to that 9th spot where Toronto is right now, and they're sitting at 8 right now. So they need to get some wins. But I think that, you know, tonight and tomorrow are going to be good tests to see what they've learned and kind of taken a deep dive at practice yesterday from that Spurs game, especially that second half. Because the first half, I mean, man, they looked unstoppable, right? They scored 80-plus points. But it's that second half that they need to learn from to find that consistency. And honestly, it's holding each other accountable and holding themselves accountable on the court. And I think that they're ready to respond to that tonight. They looked hungry yesterday at practice. They looked hungry this morning at shoot-around. So I think they're just taking it one game at a time, not necessarily looking too far ahead and focusing on the task at hand, and that's the Pistons tonight.
It is Bally Sports. Lauren Jabara with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, yeah, we talked about it Friday night. I mean, that's a great win. Now, granted, Golden State's terrible on the road, but that was still a big win against, you know, that's the defending champions. And then you don't build on it, which I guess, Lauren, gets back to, aren't we are just what we are. We're a 500 team. I mean, that's, you know, all the ups and downs, the injuries, and there have been less injuries than last year. I just think this team doesn't play defense well enough.
I think that they have played better defense in the last few weeks, and we've seen that. You talked about that Golden State game, right? Like, that's the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, and they held them to 28% from the perimeter. So I feel like it's getting there, right? It's always a work in progress. No one's ever perfect. I have yet to see a perfect NBA game where the team shoots 100 from the field and where the other team doesn't make a single point. But to that, like, you see the effort, and I feel like defense starts with effort and intensity. And I just think that the way that the Hawks have been playing, despite that second half of the Spurs, we're just going to take that one, wash it away, and just move on from it, which I think we all want to do. But I've seen the players step up on the defensive side and hold themselves accountable and also hold each other accountable. I mean, that game against Golden State, it was Trae Young that had the steal against Steph Curry that basically sealed the deal for the Hawks. So we're seeing individual guys step up in different situations, which is pretty cool.
All right, before we let you go, let's talk about what's really going on. What's your favorite food?
What's really going on?
What's your favorite food?
Oh, God, tacos.
Well, because it's
tacos and dill pickles.
Dill
pickles? But not together.
Really? Well, that's why I was asking.
Yes.
You talked about Taco Tuesday, and I was like, do you not like Italian? I mean, like what's your go-to?
Oh, So, like, okay, I mean, if I'm just going to be fully transparent here, I love Taco Bell. Call me gross, call me crazy, but give me a number three. Three crunchy taco supremes, no tomatoes, and a side of chips and cheese, and, man, you're having a good day.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, that's my go-to.
Lauren,
I think if, like death row meal, that would be, I mean, either Taco Bell or a filet. I don't know.
Wow.
I'd have to decide. I have to think about that one.
Okay. But, you can take her to a nice restaurant, but she's comfortable just going in the Taco Bell drive-thru.
Well, I'm a crispy taco guy. I like crispy tacos, too.
They're bringing back the volcano stuff, too, by the way.
Are they really?
Yeah, those volcano tacos, the super spicy stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
And give me a Baja Blast. I mean, come on, speak my love language.
What? No beef? No beef Mexi melts?
You don't like the Burrito Supreme? Well, cool.
No Burrito Supremes. I'm simple.
I hear you. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see what the Hawks do tonight, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, Lauren will be on Bally's, and we'll be watching. Thanks so much, Lauren.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
By the way, this is my new diet. Carl's really impressed. I eat a taco every hour and a half. I got it from Moe's. I'm speeding up my metabolism.
Yes.
That's my version of the keto diet.
Yeah, yeah.
I
every hour.
And by the way, I got the adobo chicken, lettuce. I had a little pico de gallo. I mean, it was actually, by my standards, relatively healthy.
No, listen, the tacos there are good. It's funny. She said, call me gross, because some people are like, Taco Bell? Hey, man, to each his own.
I'm the Moe's guy just because I got the access, because it's right here in the building. Yeah. But I'm a Taco Bell guy.
I do agree. All right, coming up, Guy Talks on the way. Mike, what do we got?
You're telling me that Roger Goodell's getting a raise? Unbelievable. Also, nobody likes Dylan Brooks. Not even Kyrie Irving will explain.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, man, we're going to have some shenanigans on Thursday and Friday. We're hitting the road. Thursday, we're going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And then Friday, Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And we'll be watching tournament action. And come on down, join the party. Welcome to the party, pal. I'll grab some Hey Man Ale and some shenanigans.
I'm with it, man. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks because then we head to the Final Four the following week in Houston. So we'll be there at Radio Row and bringing you some fun and And, yeah, man, listen, the tournament has been fun. I don't know. Listen, I'm cheering for Princeton, by the way. I just want to make this clear. I'm hoping Princeton moves on. And these are the kind of stories I want to see. I know Steak had Coach Abdur-Rahim in studio today.
Yeah, they were up at Jay Christopher's
in
Kennesaw.
That's right. He was up there doing the show. And I got a chance to hear a little bit of it. But, Mike, I don't know how long they're going to keep him. I mean, I'm being serious with you. He knows
charismatic guys and an amazing
what he's
job.
Doing.
Right.
I know he's going to come back next year, and if they make another tournament run, it would not surprise. I don't know what his aspirations are, but my guess is there will be offers. We've seen coaches take jobs around college basketball.
I know we had mentioned last time that there was an opening at Georgia Tech, is when Ron Hunter was in the middle of one of his runs at Georgia State, and that a lot of guys asked us why, you know, Georgia Tech didn't, you know, maybe pause. Well, they just said they saw something with Damon Stoudemire. Everybody's really excited. I saw Dennis Scott, our old buddy's really excited about it. A lot of former alum. I saw John Sally talking about it. A lot of guys excited about the fact it was so outside the box to go get Damon Stoudemire, but it would have been interesting to at least have a chance to kick the tires on Coach Amir Rahim.
They had to pull the trigger as far as getting their guy and securing him. They didn't wait. They moved pretty fast. So we'll see what Damon can do. I hope him nothing but the best. I hope he can turn things around and win more games and win ACC championships and make long tournament runs. We're going to see.
All right, man. Roger Goodell, contract details are coming out. Guess how much Roger Goodell made last year? Take a wild
50
guess.
50 mil.
Higher.
60 mil.
$63.9 million Roger Goodell made last year, according to Forbes. And he's going to get a raise. The interesting thing about Roger Goodell is most commissioners, they generally tap out around 65.
Okay.
Pete Rozelle left at age 63. Paul Tagliabue was 65 when he handed the baton over to Goodell. The current commish will be on track to be at least 68 or longer if they continue to extend him. His current deal will run through 2027, just like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, which is showing insane profits. Obviously, he's tied to that. He's the lightning rod. He draws all the heat. He's the one when we all know the refs are the worst in the world and they can't get anything right. He sits there for an hour at the State of the NFL speech and explains to you how the refs are fine and there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a lawyer. But anyway, Roger Goodell gets a raise because the NFL, obviously, business is booming.
It's his dream job, man. And I'm surprised, Mike. I will be surprised if he doesn't try to hold on after this deal is done. Why wouldn't you? Think about where the league is. It's the most watched product, period. Okay? It's your TV, your favorite TV show, times nine. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why you wouldn't stick around when the health of the league is doing so well. People have talked about expansion. NFL don't need to expand. They're fine. NFL don't need to do any expansion. You know, there are other sports who may try to do that. We talk about the NHL and all that. Roger Goodell's in a great spot. Now, I agree with you. It's a lot of money, but when you put it in that perspective of him being the CEO of the company, that's exactly what he is.
And again, he draws the fire for the committee. I mean, all the owners, all the stuff. And I don't agree with much of what he has to say, but that's why the commissioner just gets paid the big bucks because he spins everything. He's a spin doctor. Hey, this was a funny video. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it last night, but Kyrie Irving, as the if you didn't see it, Memphis Grizzlies take out the Mavs, and usually some guys will exchange jerseys at the end of the game. Maybe, you know, if it's the last time you're going to play him that year. Well, if you didn't see it, Dylan Brooks, who's a very controversial figure, kind of like the most aggravating guy in the NBA, and everybody on the Grizz is kind of like an aggravating piece right now. Let's be honest. You're scrapping with a lot of teams, Golden State, those guys. Yeah. You know. Anyway, Dylan Brooks goes to take off his jersey to exchange with Kyrie. And Kyrie just passes, shakes his hand and walks on. Doesn't take the jersey, doesn't give him his jersey. Which, if you just saw this, needless to say, the memes were popping, including people saying, wow, nobody likes Dylan Brooks. Kyrie can make excuses for everybody, including Ja Morant. Even he won't accept the jersey from Dylan Brooks.
So did he do this purposely, or did he just... Oh, I forgot, man. I'll get you next time.
Well, that's where it gets interesting. Later on, after some social media things hit and he was talking to the media, people asked Kyrie, what's up with that? What's up
with that?
He says, yeah, I saw that after the game. I'll probably get it next time. Probably next time. Not this time. I was really on to the next thing, thought process-wise.
He dissed him. He dissed him. Now, here's the deal. All these guys talk, okay?
Right.
And if Kyrie is cool, which he is, with some of the guys that Dylan Brooks has had issues with, this is the blowback. Like, this is he's a jerk. Don't deal with him. And so I don't know if that was the situation, but it's rare that these guys don't do this exchange.
Probably next time. I was really on to the next thing.
Okay. All right. Yeah, whatever.
Thought process. Because we know Kyrie's one of the deepest thinkers in the NBA.
No, he is. I think he dissed him. That's what I think.
I think he did, too. And the spin doesn't really make a lot of sense there. Hey, got some sad news today. I was telling Carl, it was that guy, our second commercial break, saw the word today, that Willis Reed passed away at age 80. Mm. A 1970 MVP of the All-Star Game, the league MVP, seven-time All-Star altogether. And the famous Knicks-Lakers series in Game 7 where he missed Game 6 with a basically tore a thigh muscle. And he comes out, hamstrings jacked up, and he comes out and steps on the court famously. And Howard Cosell, ABC was covering it back then, and everyone talking about just how the Lakers got totally psyched out. And then he goes on and basically on one leg scores the first two baskets. And then that's about it because he had nothing left. They shot him up and he could barely walk. But the Lakers just were so mentally weak, those teams at Jerry West, they folded. Knicks go on to win the first of their two championships with Willis and the great squad with Clyde and Pearl. Anyway, this is the guy. Now, who was your dad's guy? My old man had a bunch of dudes, but the one guy that if I had a dime for every time my father invoked Willis Reed, if you wanted to take a day off, if I felt sick, if I couldn't do yard work because I blew something up playing baseball or football, Willis Reed be out there.
Yeah.
And so it was always, Willis Reed, one leg. And then the way the story got told, it was like literally, at some time, I think my kid brother, who's much younger than me, he actually thought that Willis Reed lost a leg and actually played basketball on one leg.
One leg, yeah. No prosthetic. But he was just out there.
Did your dad ever, because my old man, if I had a million times, my old man, we never took sick days. It was always Willis Reed. He invoked Willis Reed five. It was almost like Saint Willis.
Well, listen, that was a big moment in sports. Right. It's one of the moments that will forever live. In sports history, for my dad, it was Henry Aaron. I've told the story. When I got a chance to finally meet Henry Aaron, I was like, my dad loves you, and you're the guy that we've watched. And Henry was like, call him. You know, God bless his soul, man. And he was like, call, and I was like, really? Mm. So he loved Henry Aaron and the makeup of him because he would talk to us about what it took for Henry Aaron to be the man that he was. And so he used those examples. That was the guy that my dad loved. So
now, I didn't know this about Willis. I was talking to Steve Holman earlier today, and Steve said Willis Reed apparently was on Fratello's staff with the Hawks here in Atlanta. I did not know that.
Mm.
But I got to meet DeBuscher, got to meet Clyde. Clyde, by the way, went for 36 in that game, Game 7, by the way.
He went
Frazier
off.
Was on
he
fire.
Went off. Yeah, he went off.
But the old story, my old man, real quick, because this kind of it hit me today. The old man always said, and I know I've talked to you about this before, if it's Bill Russell in that scenario, he says he would put Willis Reed three rows in the stands.
Yeah,
but Chamberlain wasn't wired that way.
No mercy. No, Russell was a different dude, and you know that's why we can argue about the greatest champion. Well, he's got more rings. You just want to talk about it from that standpoint. And I know it was a different era, but he was a tough guy too. And you're right. Nothing was going to stop him from not getting that championship. He would have handled it completely
differently. I like to think if there is, up in heaven, the old man's not hanging out with Willis Reed. That's kind of nice. Now, real quick, can't end on a sad note. Let's talk about D's Nuts.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, man, you want to get
D's?
These nuts.
Oh, okay.
A story comes to us from London that researchers apparently in Norway said you got to eat a handful of nuts every day.
Handful?
Save your heart rate.
Okay.
It said it's good for your
They're
heart.
Healthy nuts.
Healthy nuts. Scandinavian researchers found that eating
all nuts are not healthy.
No, some are really salty.
They're really salty.
These nuts. Scandinavian researchers found that eating a small amount of nuts and seeds every day can reduce the risk of a heart attack and strokes. New study published in the Food Nutrition Research
Journal.
Does it
matter if the nuts are big?
Cashews?
I'm just asking. If the nuts are
walnuts?
Big, are they big or small nuts?
Almonds? Hey, man, if you eat a handful of nuts every day, that's around 30 grams, you will have a 20 to 25% lower risk of suffering from cardiovascular disease, said the study co-author Eric Christopher Amnesen from the University of Oslo's Department of Nutrition. So, you know what he said?
What?
Get on these nuts.
No. He did not say that.
It's a message for the kids out there.
He did not say that.
He did. So get healthy. Earlier today, I tried to sell you on the idea of eating a taco every hour and a half, and watch the pounds just fall off. Anyway.
Now getting on these nuts.
Wash down those salty nuts with an ice-cold Hey Man Ale. Don't forget, man, watermelon lime and the OG, the blonde ale.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I'm talking about the Hey Man Ale, not the nuts. The nuts can be good, though. Coming up. We're going to talk about one of our newest Falcons and what do we still need. We're going to tell you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.